Remember when no one gave a damn about being offended? What happened to us? Even comedians now fear today's political correctness taboos set by the so-called social justice warriors of the world. Dare to make a joke outside of the party line and boom, you are canceled. Now, I'm not a hater of the woke movement. I just think that they've gone completely overboard. You got fat acceptance, pronouns, gender confusion. Enough is enough. I'm Christy I, and you're watching The Cost of Everything, where today's show is going to be lit. We have our woke warriors, and we got our free speech defenders, and we're ready to spill the tea on whether or not this movement is truly woke or just sleepwalking. Now, wokeness absolutely has its merits. It's brought issues like racism, gender equality, and LGBTQ rights into the spotlight. But while on the surface that seems like a very noble cause, a great message, and overall very positive, the way that woke culture has gone about doing it is rather hypocritical. Woke warriors call out injustices, demand change, and empower marginalized communities with social media and cancel culture. But isn't cancel culture crossing the line? Isn't that just a way to silence anyone who doesn't agree with the woke mindset? And are we trampling on free expression in the name of wokeness? So joining me to discuss this further is my co-host for the day, Mr. Ed Martin, radio host at Pro America Report. Thank you so much for being here today.
Great to be with you. Thank you.
So now, let's talk about cancel culture a little bit. Cancel culture can be a modern-day witch hunt. It crushes diversity of thought, and it sometimes just ruins lives over little misunderstandings. And we're all for social progress these days, but you can't just silence anyone who disagrees with you.
Right. The insidiousness about this whole thing is how it's done to people, right? In other words, it's one thing to confront something if I disagree. In fact, you and I were talking off the air. We're disagreeing about a topic. We can have that discussion. The question is when other forces come in to damage people. As I was getting ready for this, I was going to tell you the story. I thought I'd wait. I was fired at CNN. And when I was fired, it's for something I said on my own radio show. And I never named names. I just said that the people I was talking to on CNN were racist. And I said, they happened to be black, but they were racist. And when I said that, I got a call from CNN and they said, we're getting pressured from the African-American community to take you off the air. And I said, well, what did I say? The point is, the side pressure that's happening and what I find, again, most insidious is that we don't get to see who those people pushing those buttons are. And then you say to yourself, who's not just making my day miserable or your day miserable, but impacting what the conversation is, right?
Absolutely.
Who's got the power to use the woke movement and the cancel culture to damage how we're living together? And that's what's happening in America. And I think that's why there's a swing against it, because people are they're sick of this. They're tired of it, and they're reacting against it.
Absolutely, because I understand that there's a perception that needs to be maintained, but then it's like, what is that perception? Are you continuously bound to that perception? And then it just becomes completely inauthentic.
Right.
Then it becomes a question of whether or not, like, you can say things. Is it free speech? Do we truly have free speech when you're not allowed to express how you truly feel?
Right, exactly. And again, it's who's defining the narrative, right? In America, we've seen in the last 5 or 6 years, both parties have used big government, big media, and big tech to set the narrative. And once they set the narrative, you try to change it. Roseanne was canceled for something she said that, frankly, was more funny than not. And it goes on and on and on. And they use these instances to damage people. And again, Americans are looking up saying, who's in charge here? Why can't we have the freedom to assemble and speak and be out there, confronted at no problem, but not pay a price like the cancel culture does? And by the way, if you're there on January 6th, you're going to pay a price with federal imprisonment. If you're Antifa and you're burning cars or throwing Molotov cocktails at the federal district court in Portland, Oregon, you're just going to be given a pat on the back.
Move
along.
Exactly. So it's completely lopsided. And what you mentioned was really important. It's who's in control of it.
Right.
So right now, it seems that the social media companies, they are all on board with this super woke agenda. And that makes the entire dialogue one-sided. And in fact, you get silenced or shadow banned for speaking out of turn on Facebook or Instagram or even TikTok. And today, as we all know, Facebook is the biggest publisher these days, and they're the ones grabbing all the eyeballs, running the ads, right. and they're purposely hiding, deleting, or delisting content that they deem to be inappropriate. And it's like, how you deem something to be inappropriate? And we were just talking about that. I had posts right. that got deleted right. and flagged as inappropriate, that's got delisted, and I am shadow banned on Instagram.
Right, but what happens when what has been for, let's say, a couple of centuries, maybe a millennium, a position that people were able to have, say traditional marriage or sexuality, is now deemed so unacceptable that you're going to be in trouble for it and canceled. And the one I would tell people over and over again is if every single aspect of government, and you and I talked about your positions, every single aspect of government looks corrupt to me, yes. except elections. And we're supposed to say elections are perfect. In fact, mm-hmm. if you say elections are bad in America in 2020, you'll probably be arrested or debarred or attacked in some very specific way. You look up and say, what's the deal here? You're no longer allowed to have that free speech, that statement. It might be wrong. Yeah. I'm not saying it's right. I'm mm-hmm. saying that's the one thing you can't say. Today you can say the FBI is corrupt, the CIA is broken, the Congress is full of guys that go to a brothel. You can say all that. And if you say the election in 2020 was off, mm-hmm. you're going to be investigated.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Yeah, you're going to be investigated, and you're propagating false
news. That's right.
News. That
exactly.
is what you're going to be accused
that's
of.
That's right.
And then your reputation just goes
yep.
dark.
Yep, that's right.
And so I feel like a lot of this narrative is actually being pushed by pop culture, because pop culture is actually what's driving a lot of media attention. And it's become the norm of the entertainment industry. So you got movies, you got TV shows, all giving a voice to these long, unheard factions, but now it's become so formulaic that it's preachy.
Yes.
You feel like?
Yes, yes. And I think that people are tired of it. If you look at what's happening with movies and some of these things, you know, I guess Barbie was a hit. I didn't see it. But the new Marvel movie that's got all women in all the positions is a dud, right? I think that one of the things that we often will say to activists and people, courage is contagious, you know, that once people start to hear, I can object to that, they will. But I agree with you. It's so formulaic. The argument, though, about, say, books, you'll see the left and the media will say conservatives want to ban books. Actually, what conservatives are saying, I don't want my kids confronted with things that are too edgy. And initially, that people are like, oh, burning books is bad. Now, a lot of Americans are saying, we're just not going to show our kids, you know, graphic sexual books in the public library. You can still have it at home. You can still go to the section of the library that's got adult literature, yeah. but don't show it to kids. So I do think that there's a movement back to correct, but it is. Up, as you point out, it's up against these forces, media, tech, and especially, as you mentioned, Hollywood. The culture is upstream influencing a lot of these things. By the way, I'll get to it, you know, hot button, LGBTQ, whatever all the acronyms are. A few years ago, you could have said, I don't want my kids exposed to some of the people that have the positions about it. Can't say that now.
Yeah.
It's moved that fast, that quickly. You can't even object to that, and you're called a bigot. You know, you're called someone who is homophobic, and you're like, wait, I thought I was allowed to have some opinions.
Exactly, and now, even if you're a movie director, you have to cast your trans person,
That's
you
right.
have to cast your token black main character, you have to cast a main gay character, yep. a gay storyline,
right.
all of that. It's become formulaic, and you even have to have an Asian character, whereas before, it's like, you get the part because you're talented, because you earned it, because it deserves to be in the storyline,
yeah.
and it's correct. But yeah. now, you just get these people just for the sake of representation, and don't get me wrong, representation is great, and it matters, but yeah. There has to be a limit to it.
Well, we were talking again off the air. I do a bunch of different work. One thing I researched recently was Planned Parenthood. And all of the CEOs at the Planned Parenthoods, they make a lot of money. It turns out that two out of the top three are white men. And I was like, that's kind of weird. White men at the two of the Planned Parenthood. And they just announced. And then usually the person that runs the CEO of a local Planned Parenthood is not put out as a big deal by the national. The national announced they have the first binary or non-binary CEO of a Planned Parenthood because they're trying to do this identity politics. My thing is, you have to, sometimes you use the woke culture and the cancel culture against them. Planned Parenthood, for example, has said they're racist. They've admitted, they said, they're going through we were racist at the beginning. Well, mm-hmm. okay, you use the term, let's use it not just a shield, but a sword back. And I think, again, you're seeing more and more regular Americans who not taking it, and therefore they're willing to express themselves about it to groups that they couldn't have done in the past.
Yeah, and like, I'm not against non-binary people being in a position of power. That is absolutely great.
Sure.
But it's like, did they get the position because they're non-binary or because they actually deserve the job and has the qualification and knows how to run the company?
Exactly.
So that's going to be the biggest question there.
And how unfair is it that we're doing this to ourselves where somebody's going to get questioned, right? They're going to say, did you get the job because you were fitting that category? That's unfair to the person. Like, people shouldn't have to wonder about why they got promoted. It should be, I'm really good at this. I got a shot. I made it work. And that's, again, a part of this thing that's, I think the cancel culture, the woke culture, really is pulls at the fabric of all of the way. It creates distrust about who we are instead of letting people be who they are.
Exactly.
I'm not going to stand in judgment of you, but let's not make it so that I have to salute you. Not necessarily, I mean, not you personally, but you get the point.
Exactly. And the thing is, we can't even joke about it these days because people find it offensive. I find stereotypes to be really funny because I think stereotypes are kind of true.
Yes.
And I could get canceled for saying this, but I think stereotypes are true. You know how many times I get texted, me personally, I get texted the meme of the Asian Family Guy character running every single car off the highway,
right,
and there's a big explosion behind it because she's crossing like five lanes on the highway and driving recklessly. Like, I will admit that is me. I'm a terrible driver. Yeah. Like, that is me.
Well, listen, the Irish guy who gets texted the thing about beer all the time,
exactly,
so we all have to deal with these crosses.
Exactly.
But you're right about it. Stereotypes have a kernel of truth in it, that's what can make it funny. By the way, humor is impossible in the cancel culture, in the woke culture. It's impossible, which is one of the reasons, again, why I think most normal people are rejecting it. So because we do like to laugh. We like to have, we like to go to the edge, sometimes over the line, and laugh about it and not think, oh, your life is over. But I tell you, be a young person. Imagine if we were young, 10, 15 years younger, each, both of us, and we were back. We might not survive social media because there'd be a record of all the times we got, at least I would, crossed over the line. And I'd be like, oh, I can never get a job because I did that when I was 18 and on Twitter.
We'll have to never stop apologizing.
That's right, exactly.
Well, thank you so much, Ed, but please stick around.
Yep.
We're going to be back to it. And when we come back from break, we're going to discuss further with our guest, Sean Stone. So stick around because you're not going to want to miss it. Welcome back. Now, of course, education is a battleground for the woke debate. Some schools are integrating social justice curriculums, and parents are worried that these new lessons are pushing their kids to be woke rather than just letting them form their own opinions. So is it education or is it indoctrination? Our guest today is filmmaker Sean Stone. Thank you so much for being here with us, Sean.
Of course, thanks for having me.
So now, Sean, the trans issue has been beat to death. We've all heard about these trans athletes competing as females and stealing victories that should belong to actual women. So not only are they beating them, but they are also now allowed in female locker rooms, which just opens the door for a whole new can of worms. So how is that allowed, especially in an educational institution?
Yeah, it's not just educational, it's also in correctional facilities. And even scarier things that I've heard, you know, not just those that have actually transitioned, but people that identify as you know, a male identifying as a woman going into a female prison and then, you know, being allowed to rape. I mean, there's horrible stories that you hear like this. And so how is it allowed to happen? Because I would say culturally are being indoctrinated to a perspective that that there is no gender. Right, that essentially that sex is not something that's biological, even though you can see in nature, and in nature it's everything is male and female, right? Even down to the plants and animals. I mean, there's a reason, right, that there is a sexuality that's based in a natural order to create life. And so only in this weird reality where we think that we can sort of blur it all and lose what is part of the natural order, do you get to a place where you're like, yeah, well, you know, you can just transition. And it's the same if you're a transitioned man or a transitioned woman, it's the same as being a real woman or let's say a biological male or female. And I think that's the problem. We're trying to take nature out of our reality. That's what I see coming.
And that seems crazy to me because it's like next time we might as well have like a trans athlete compete in male rhythmic gymnastics or floor exercises, and then you'll be scored on artistic as well as technicals just like the females. And then in that case, then the men become the losers. Same with equestrians. So I'm all for trans athletes competing in their own segment. You have male sports, you have female sports, and you can have trans sports. Like, I don't see why it can't just be three categories instead of two.
Yeah, precisely. I mean, look, we've had Special Olympics, right? I mean, this has been around for decades to give people that are, you know, that have handicaps, right, opportunity to compete, where you recognize, look, you know, if you have bionic legs or something, you don't need to compete with someone that you know, that doesn't have bionic legs. And that's okay to have that distinction. We've been okay with all other distinctions. But when it comes to this trans thing, it's like no one wants to just say the obvious, which is, okay, great, have a trans competition. And then you, as you said, I mean, if you're whatever, you know, biologically male transition to female, it gets so confusing, right, to actually follow. And, you know, you start to hear these concepts and you're just like sitting there going, I don't even know what that means anymore. Like, you know, you're a male who's transitioned to a female, but you still are dating girls. So it's like, you kind of have, you know, it's like, what is going on, right? We're just like, we're in this kind of total blur, this total mesh of what is constructed, as opposed, again, going back to this notion of we're creating a new culture, right? It's a construct, it's a synthetic creation that's, I think, trying to distance us from the natural world.
Yes, and it is confusing. And imagine if it's confusing for us already to kind of grasp the concept, think about how confusing it is for kids or teenagers going through puberty and trying to discover themselves. So do you think that kids who are being advised or encouraged to take hormone shots to quote unquote feel normal? Like, you're a teenager, nothing feels normal. So all of them are gonna be like, oh, I don't feel normal, let's take a shot to feel normal. Is that gonna have long-term consequences in our society, especially when it comes to puberty and development?
Oh, of course it will. I mean, I know that they promote this, and obviously, look, Big Pharma is reaping huge profits from all of these transition drugs or hormone blockers, or I don't even know, you know, cancel your puberty, all this stuff. And they say, oh, well, mostly it's reversible. I mean, they will acknowledge that some of these things are, you know, you take hormone blockers for a certain period of time. It's, how is it not going to affect your biochemistry, you know, long term? Mm-hmm. These, you know, we know the Big Pharma lies. I mean, why is it such a surprise? You know, they're reaping millions of dollars just on every transition person, because you think about the amount of money that's spent between all the different drugs, between the surgeries, mm-hmm. right? And who knows what else, you know, comes along with it. But the point is that they're making so much money on every person that's transitioning. And of course, you know, they're going to say, yeah, it's reversible. You know, if you lose your penis and, you know, replace it with a vagina, you can always come back later in life. I mean, it's just like they sell you on this kind of stuff. And it's, and you look at the track record of the lies of Big Pharma and how much they have done to harm people with their drugs, with their, you know, with everything, with their vaccines. It's like, it's just, if you can't recognize that they are deceptive, you know, why, then you're missing that they, of course, are also deceiving you on the ramifications, the long-term effects of what they're selling to kids at this point.
Exactly, and that's surgery. Surgery certainly is reversible, but it's never going to be the same. Not to mention hormone blockers, especially taking hormone blockers during puberty, that hinders development. So you will never actually revert back, because you never even reached the full potential of what you were supposed to be when during your growth spurt. So that is really concerning. And now everyone is being encouraged to be their quote unquote authentic self. But what does authentic self even mean these days, when you have people using whatever pronoun suits them in the moment? You have some people saying, well, today I feel like I'm a woman. Today I feel like I'm Black. Next, I feel like I'm Chinese because I'm having Chinese food. Like, where do we draw the line? And how is that authentic when there's real differences between cultures and races and you can't interchange them?
Yeah, well, and so, this kind of goes to the heart of a lot of what the agenda seems to be, of the globalist agenda, let's say, right? The globalist agenda wants to eviscerate any cultural distinction. It wants people to, at one level, be colorblind. At the other level, the left has become extremely racist, right? Because they're the ones focusing, everything becomes about race, but then they're saying that it's in an attempt to be anti-racist, but you're making actually things more evident, right? In the sense of focusing on once you focus on race, it actually creates more racial focus, which creates racism in itself, or exceptionalism or whatnot. So the point is that they're again, there's a hijacking of culture according to a certain leftist ideology, and it's part of globalism, to at one level to eviscerate cultural distinctions and let's say like conservative tendencies, legacies of maybe religion, values, right, things like this, ethics that may be distinct to, or unique to certain cultures. At one level, it's like we obliterate that, but at the other level, they're trying to basically get us into a as I say, more of an artificial reality where it doesn't, like, there is no logic. It's like tomorrow, if you go back to 1984 and books like that, like tomorrow, if we say, you know, white is no longer privileged, now black is privileged. Okay, everyone has to think that way, right? And then the next day it becomes, well, no, you know, now Chinese is privileged. Like whatever they want to tell you, they want you to forget, essentially. They want you to lose that legacy of history, of culture, of, you know, of ethics, of value systems that might contradict their system. They want a system that doesn't really make, let's be honest, like doesn't really make sense. 1984 was a reality that didn't make sense. It was whatever Big Brother said was what went, right? So if tomorrow they say the sky is pink, you have to say the sky is pink. That's what they want to create. It's not really, I don't believe it's really based in any kind of particular value system of like morality or logic or reason. It's more, they want to be able to control the narratives, right?
Yeah.
And become more and more absurd in the narrative such that you will accept basically anything, no matter how absurd, if it's told to you by the mainstream.
Absolutely. And that's crazy to me because, don't get me wrong, I have friends who are trans and I have friends who are gender neutral. The issue isn't that, but when you are an adult and you're in the right headspace to determine who you are, that's all fine. But the concerning thing about this woke culture is it influences impressionable, confused kids. So how are kids in this growing up in this generation supposed to navigate the world like this?
It's confusing. I mean, and going back to what you said earlier, it's confusing anyway when you're young, you're going through puberty. You know, I don't think any young man goes through puberty, just speaking from my own experience, or woman going through, you know, going through puberty without feeling complete turmoil, right? They call it awkward age. I remember like 13 into 14 was like totally an awkward age. You know, your hormones are raging. And so you're already dealing with all of that. Now you have a societal pressures of the social media, right? The increased sexualization, the confusion around sexuality and gender, and like it doesn't, you know, and then should I get rid of my sex? Should I change my sex? You know, I can't stand my hormones at this moment. You know, it sucks to be a boy. Maybe I'll be a girl. I mean, it's like it's so confusing already. I don't know how you would navigate it except, again, going back to this notion of like certain cultural values, norms, ethics, and having that familial, you know, relationship that, again, a lot of the society is trying to get rid of. That's why they don't want parents to interfere. If the society, if in like California and states like this, where they were pushing for, you know, 13, 14 year old kids to be able to get sex changes without their parents' permissions, you see, that's all part of the intention to take parents and their, let's say, their ethics or their values out of the way and make it more the state's prerogative, right? To basically cut off that relationship between family and child, and to make it the state's right, basically to take the child from you in a metaphoric way and say, okay, well, you know, if your child wants to transition at 13, that's, we're going to give that to the child. We're not going to actually give the parents permission or say in that regard.
Absolutely. And that is really concerning. Well, thank you so much. That was filmmaker Sean Stone. Thank you so much for being here with us. And it seems like sometimes people just don't like to call things according to their actual definitions anymore. Nothing is defined. And people don't like labels, which is okay for some areas in life, but words have literal meanings, and you can't just go about creating your own definition for things, because it doesn't work like that. You live in the real world with real consequences, and when you screw up in the real world, you have to take responsibility and fix it.
Of course. I mean, it was fascinating to hear him talk about that reality, but I agree with you completely. The one thing I'd say is the people that want this mentality to grow want control. In other words, they can take away from parents and influence people to do things and then change them back and do things and change them back. It's almost like the truth doesn't matter. It just matters that they can jerk us all around and make us move in circles. And as you point out, the words are incredibly, they're moving. Like I used to know what it was to be a bigot. I'm not sure who's a bigot now. I mean, these words are like just wild. And I think for I know kids, you talked about that, it's very important, but all of us are just confused by it. When you live in a world where the air is filled with such insanity, it has the impact of making you insane. And I think a lot of people in this country, America, and in the world, are really made crazy. And I mean it as a, not clinical, yeah. I mean how you live, by the fact that the language has been manipulated and twisted and all. By the way, one thing about the sports, I got cut from the baseball team when I was a junior in high school. It's always been devastating to me. You don't have a right to play sports, right? Yeah. If you decide to be trans, okay, maybe you can't play sports then. I mean, that shouldn't be the end of the world. This is like participation trophy. Everybody doesn't get a trophy. The idea of everybody getting a trophy or everybody playing a sport, sometimes you make a choice and you're not good enough, you're not going to play. That's life.
That is life, exactly. And you're right. The world is crazy because now we have Dylan Mulvaney as Woman of the Year, and today Kim Kardashian is voted Man of the Year. So nothing means what it's supposed to mean anymore.
That's true.
But thank you so much for being here with us, Ed. It was a pleasure.
Great to be with you.
So whether you're team woke or team free speech, remember that the conversation matters and it's all about learning and growing together. So until next time, stay woke or sleep soundly. It's your call. I'm Christy I. Thanks for watching and we'll see you right back here next time on The Cost of Everything.